Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. So exciting. So we have just an order of business. We have 3 weeks left. So I think what we're going to do is this week we're going to do Perek Chaf Gimel. Next week we'll do Perek Chaf Dalet. And then Perek Chaf Hey is the Perek of Naval and Abigail. And that's a Perek which A, I'm not really sure we can fully cover in 1 week. And B, when we do it, we'll see it's a phenomenal introduction for Shmuel Beis, because a lot of the pieces of David and Bathsheba are already going to be foreshadowed with David and Abigail. So I think since we're going to do Shmuel Beis and Rosh Hashanah next year, what's going to make the most sense is we'll do Chaf Gimel this week, Chaf Dalet next week, and then the last week of this year we'll do a big review, and we'll take a look back at everything we've done for Shmuel Aleph, some of the major ideas, major personalities, really try to help us have some core take-home points as we head out into the summer. And then Emir Tzah Hashem, when we start up again after the summer, we'll pick up with David and Abigail. So last week we saw the massacre of Nov Ir HaKohanim. And before we even start going into Perek Chaf Gimel, I just want to make one point outside, which is we're going to see Perek Chaf Gimel, you know, the Prakim in Shmuel Aleph, in some sense, they begin to seem a little bit repetitive, right? David is going to be on the run. Shaul is going to chase him. We're going to have repeated instances where David's going to be saved, right? But we're going to see this Perek is going to stick out for a very, very important reason. And that is that Perek of Gimel Shmuel Aleph is the one that really gives us the deepest insight into Shaul's psychology and into the main problem that Shaul has. And we'll show it. Just we could ask a basic question. How could we explained political last week, but how could Shaul possibly have killed all the Kohanim of Nov? And the Navi made it even more poignant by saying that Shaul twice talked about him killing the Kohanei Hashem. Shaul is on the record. I want the Kohanim of Yud Kei Vav Kei of the Ribono Shel Olam dead. And then, I'm just going to open the screen share and show one pasuk from this week's parak. Scroll down to pasuk Chaf Aleph. Right, we'll get to the background in a few minutes, but Shaul, people from the city of Zif come to Shaul, and they're going to tell Shaul that they know where David is located, and they can help him capture David. And Shaul says to the people, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Bruchim atem Lashem ki chamaltem alai. Shaul gives them a bracha. He says, you are blessed to Ribono Shalom, you're blessed to Yud Kei Vav Kei. How could it be that one parak ago, Shaul is wiping out the Kohanei Hashem, and then one parak later, he's saying, Bruchim Atem Lashem. And you see, the answer is really very simple. Shaul remains from the entire time, from the beginning of his life until the very end. He's absolutely in his mind dedicated to the Ribono Shel Olam. The problem is that he is dedicated to what he thinks Hashem wants. And in his mind, what Hashem wants always overlaps with what he wants. So that's why in the Perek over here, Shaul, and we see this is going to be a theme, it's going to come up several times. Shaul is going to assume that Hashem wants him to win over David. He's going to be able to wipe out the Kohanei Hashem last week because he's going to think in his mind that is also the will of God, because I am the anointed king, Hashem wants me to be king. Those who are my enemies are also Hashem's enemies. And that then becomes pathological, because then there's no stopping you. If you have someone who has the power of a king, and that same person is convinced that what he's doing is what Hashem wants, he's not doing it just for himself, right? What Hashem wants the king to succeed. And so he's convinced that whatever he wants, what Hashem wants, then there's no stopping how dangerous that can be. And that is going to be the absolute key to Shaul and the key difference between Shaul and David. The reason why we already saw last week David showcasing his ability to do tshuva is because David can realize there is a gap between what he did and what he wanted and what the Ribono Shel Olam wanted, right? He was able to look back and say, it was expedient for me to go to Nov and get the bread and get the sword. Looking back on it, I messed up. That was a terrible mistake. It led ultimately to the death of the Kohanim, and I have to take responsibility, and I have to take Evyas or the Kohen Gadol under my wing, the Kohen under my wing. And that's going to be just the first instance of many times where David can make the wrong decision, but he can realize it's the wrong decision, and he can react accordingly, because he can realize that he may be anointed as king, but just because he wants something does not mean it's what Hashem wants. It's an idea which, you know, at first glance seems so basic. But even we think in our own lives, right? That's what we do all the time when we rationalize behavior. Kal vachomer, someone who is the king and who has immense power and who is surrounded by people who have every incentive to just be yes men and sycophants. For someone like that to fall into a mindset of what Hashem, what I want is what Hashem wants, is very, very easy. It happens to Shaul. And that's really going to be drawn out in the parak this week. Okay. So now let's scroll back up to the beginning of the parak. So remember, we're coming fresh out of, we had the master at Nov, and then we had David out in Midbar Yehuda, and David began to collect a ragtag army of about 400 men it was at the time. It was people who were low on their luck, people who owed money, people who were basically the bottom feeders of society. And we said that David was able to violate the Mishnah Perkei Avos, because the Mishnah in Perkei Avos says you should be a Zanav L'Aryeh Va'al Tehi Rosh L'Shual. Do not be the head of a fox. So David is the head of a fox. He's the head of 400 Lo Yitzlachs. But what he's going to do, he's going to turn a fox into a lion. That already is going to begin this week. He's going to take these 400 people who are the bottom of society, and he's going to transform the men who he leads. So let's see how it begins. The Navi tells us, David is out in the middle of the desert. The Plishtim are attacking Ki'ila. Ki'ila, it's a border city between Yehuda and the Plishtim, right? Let's remember our geography, that the Shevet, who most closely encounters the Plishtim are, you know, over by Gaza, is Yehuda, which is the dominant Shevet for the entire south of Israel. The Navi says the Plishtim are attacking this border city of Ki'ila. And they're also raiding the threshing floor. You might notice there's a little bit of a funny doubling of the pasuk here, right? Why do we need to be told that they're fighting Ki'ila and they're raiding their granaries? Bazak in the VBM suggests something interesting. It says this is the first of something that we're already going to see several times, which is flashbacks in this parak to Shaul's experience with Amalek. It's going to become clear on later in the parak, but for now, let's just note, last time we saw this phenomenon of enemies raiding, of Shosim, was at the end of Parak Yudalid. Remember, we had a couple of psukim at the end of Parak Yudalid, where very, very briefly, the Navi, because the Navi is not really interested in history, but the Navi took a couple of psukim at the end of Parak Yudalid to tell us how successful militarily Shaul's reign was. Pasuk said, "Vayas Chayil, Vayachas Amalek." Shaul attacked Amalek. He beat Amalek. This is right before the ultimate battle. Vayatzel es Yisrael miyad shosehu. Back in Parak Yudalid, before the disaster of Amalek, while Shaul was riding high, Shaul was doing the job of a Jewish king. He was saving Israel from the raiders, from the spoilers. He was saving Klal Yisrael from Amalek. We have that return again, the idea that there are enemies who are invading and raiding Klal Yisrael. And the shocking thing is, why are people coming to David and telling David about the Shosim? And why is David going to be the one who in the next few seconds is going to marshal his ragtag army together and take on the Plishtim? They should be coming to Shaul. That's Shaul's job, to save Klal Yisrael from the Shosim. But the first pasuk of the parak sets up for us a theme that's going to run through the whole thing. David is going to act like a king, saving Klal Yisrael from their enemies, while Shaul is going to spend the entire time, instead of doing his job, he is going to spend the power of the Malchus, instead of protecting Klal Yisrael, he is going to use the power of the Malchus to protect himself, using his army to chase after David rather than do his job. So it's supposed to be Shaul who's fighting this fight. We had that theme before with Goliath, when Shaul was supposed to fight Goliath and David did it instead. And now it's happening again. David is replacing Shaul as king. Part of the tragedy of Shaul is that Shaul stays up every night thinking, David is replacing me as king, and yet he doesn't realize that it's to such a great degree, it's his own actions or inactions which are causing that to happen. It's not just because Shmuel gave him said to him, Hashem is taking away your kingdom, right? Instead of reacting to that tshuva, anything, every action Shaul does just brings it about more. David is acting as a king, Shaul is not. What does David do? Yishal David Hashem Limor. So David now happens to have the Urim and Tumim available, thanks to Evyasar, who fled from the city of Nob. So he asks the Urim and Tumim, should I chase after the Plishtim? Hashem tells him yes. Hoshatas Kila, you're going to save the city. Pasuk Gimel tells us that David's men, who remember, these are not like the graduates of the finest yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, the people over here. So they're not so enthusiastic to go. It's also 400 men against the whole army of Plishtim. Remember, Shaul had 600 men against the Plishtim, and that was a suicide battle. So the people are not so enthusiastic. They say, "Hinei anachnu po b'Yehuda yireyim. We are here in Yehuda, and we're already afraid. We're fugitives from Shaul. V'af ki melech ki ila marchos ha-plishtim. We're going to go from the frying pan into the fire. We're going to run away from Shaul to go fight the Plishtim? It's crazy." What's David's reaction? Yosef o David l'shol b'Hashem, enei Hashem, kum rei ki'ila, ki anin of Saint es ha-plishtim v'yadach. The Parshim all explain that we have here already, this is David's first time where we see David in real action leading men. And what is he doing? He's not getting up and giving an inspirational speech. Sure, David can do that. He's not just charging ahead at the front of the army. We're sure that David can do that too. The first time we see David in real action as a leader of men, we see him inspiring them religiously. We see him being the source of emun ubitachon for the people. Right, so Radak, kishereu anashav shevticho akel pa'amim halchu imo. Right? Militarily, the odds seem crazy. It's David's faith, and it's David's running to the Urim v'Tumim and bringing the Ribono Shel Olam into the conversation, which turns things around and gets this group of people to believe in David by getting them to believe in the Ribono Shel Olam. Shaul against Amalek, the people dragged him down. He told Shmuel, what do you want me to do? The people wanted the spoils. The people wanted to keep Agag and keep the sheep and everything. And I just had to go along for the ride. So David shows there's another root of leadership over here, which is even if you're correct and the people are not where you want them to be, the role of the melech has to be to inspire the people and bring them closer to Hashem. And that is what David is doing, right? We have the hope, the dream of Shmuel. Now it can come to reality. Okay. Navi continues. And it's interesting, Pasuk, hey. The Navi says, Vayelach David v'anashav ki'ila, vayelachim b'plishtim, v'fayt b'plishtim, vayenhag es miknehem, they led away their cattle, vayach behem makah gedolah, and then they struck a tremendous blow against the plishtim, vayosha David es yoshvi ki'ila ki'ila asif. Question is, why are we talking about leading away their cattle? So the two interesting approaches to this in the Mefarshim, the Radak says, let's hold on and think for a second. The Navi began the story by telling us that these were shosim. Remember, these were raiders. These people are coming in, they're invading, they're stealing grain. So this is not like an army that's camped it's not an occupying force. It's a raiding force. So where are these animals coming from? So the Radak suggests that, they left their animals back at home. And what the Navi is doing here is it is showing us the extent of David's victory. David defeated the Plishtim, chased them all the way back to base, manages to keep his men. Remember, Shaul couldn't do this. In Shaul's first battle with the Plishtim, after they won the victory at the spot, Shaul tried to get the people to go further, and they wouldn't go further. Either Radak is reading the Pasuk, we're seeing David leading his men into battle, and the people are going all the way to the end, and they are succeeding in not only saving Ki'ilah, but even in going into the Plishtim's own home base and taking away their spoils. The Dat Mikra quotes this from the Radak, and he asks an interesting question. He says, the only problem is the phrases in the pasuk are in the wrong order. You see, because according to the Radak, the Navi really should have said, "Vayach behem makah gedola, vayinhag es v'tnehim." It should have said he won the battle and then he got all the way and he took away their cattle. So Tamikra suggests something else actually happened. Suggests the Navi is describing here David's strategy and the way that he won the battle. Tamikra suggests David snuck around behind the Plishtim, raided their base. The Plishti army right hears about this. They've been struck from the rear, and David is taking their mikneh. Tamikra suggests, why do they need cattle if they're going raiding? They need cattle, they need oxen to schlep everything back that they plan on plundering. So David goes around them from the rear, hits their animals, and then they have to turn around, and then David is able to surprise them from behind. So that's another approach. Two interesting ways of visualizing what happened. Either David leading them in a charge, and then they go all the way to the end, all the way to the end zone, or it's that David did, snuck around them. It was a sneak attack, and then he's able to get them from behind. Okay. The Pasuk Vav tells us, and it's kind of interesting, this is here. Nabi says, "Vahi bevrach av yasa ben achimelech al David ki'ila efod yarad biyado." How was David able to ask Hashem what to do? So the Navi tells us now that it was because Evyatar, the Kohen, happened to have the ephod with him when he fled from Nov as it was being destroyed. Now we might wonder why this is here, right? We should have had it a few psukim ago. You know, the Navi should have told us Evyatar got the ephod and then told us about David using it. The truth is, it's something the Tanakh does all the time. We even have it in this week's parsha, Pinchas, where what do we have? You know, who did Pinchas kill? You know, we're told Pinchas takes the spear and Pinchas killed them and he gets the bris shalom from Hashem. And then afterwards, right, the Torah tells us, oh, let's fill in the details of the story. Let you know the people who Pinchas killed were Zimri and Kazbi Bas Tzur. So it's a phenomenon. You have another example over here where the Torah will give you, the Navi or the Tanakh will give you, you know, parenthetically, after the fact, we'll fill in the detail of the story. But the Radak has another very important point here. He says that this is not just some parenthetical pasuk. We have to realize what's going on already. Says the Radak, let's see. Evyasar runs away. The ephod yarad biyado. What does it mean? The ephod descended into his hand. So Radak says what it means, and this is going to be a theme for the whole parak. You know how Hashem intercedes. Says Kolomar, yarad ephod b'derech mikre biyad. It happened to be that as Evyasar was fleeing the scene, and we can imagine what's happening, Doeg HaDomi from last week's parak shows up in Nov, and he starts immediately killing everybody. So there is panic. And what happened? So Evyasar needs to flee. So Kishalakach Kelav Imo Bivarcho, you know, he grabbed whatever stuff he had next to him and just ran out the door, like Bnei Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, just, you know, grab your stuff and run. We did not have time to go through the detailed itinerary of his packing list, right? Whatever was there, you just grab it and go. And it happened to be that as Evyasar was grabbing, you know, food, clothing, whatever is immediately available, throwing in the bag, happened to be that somehow the ephod, which he could use in order to ask Hashem what to do, happened to fall into his bag as well, right? It says the Radak lefichach amar yara. That's what it said. It fell in. Velo amar horid. That Evyasar didn't take it with him. He didn't cause it to fall into his bag. It just happened to be there. Happened to be there, right? You can imagine Evyasar runs all the way to David, and David accepts him into the camp. And then he opens his bag and sees what. And, okay, let me take out my change of laundry for tomorrow. Oh, happens to me. It's amazing. I happen to have the ephod. And this is going to be, you know, militarily invaluable for David, right? So we see already the first instance in this parak of how Hashem operates through Hashkacha to protect David. So David is inspiring his men. He is saving a city. He's acting the way that a king should work, both militarily and religiously. Everything on David's end is great. So now, of course, David's going to shift to look at the world of Shaul. And immediately, the first pasuk we see with Shaul is the exact perspective of Shaul we mentioned at the beginning of this year. Vayigal Shaul ki badzeve ki ila vayomer Shaul nikar oso Elokim biyadi. Hashem has given David into my hand because David has walked into a trap. Kinesgar lovo biir de la sayim uvriach. David is now sitting in a walled city. Ki'ila is a city on the border. You're not going to survive a city on the border unless you have strong fortifications. Right? That's what the Meraglim were looking for when they went into Eretz Yisrael. So Shaul says, this is amazing. David just left the open wilderness where it's very hard to pin him down because he could run anywhere at any time. He's in the middle of a walled city. So if I wrap up the city, he's going to be stuck inside. But Shaul doesn't just say, you know, I've got him. He says, Hashem has given him to me. Right? You see what happens? Shaul is interpreting this as the will of God. Hashem wants me to win. And the Navi, the Navi exaggerates the irony because one pasuk after the Navi highlighted the hashkacha that Hashem is showing to David, it happened to be that Evyasar happened to have the ephod in his bag, obviously, because Hashem was looking out for David. Shaul says next pasuk, oh, nikar oso Elokim yadi. Hashem is not looking out for David, Hashem is looking out for me. And that divergence is just going to go run through the entire paragraph, you know, again and again and again and again. Okay, what does Shaul do? Ve'yishama Shaul es kol ha'am la'melchama. Now, this is jarring. Shaul calls the entire army to war, the entire nation to war. Seven psukim after, the Plishtim were invading Eretz Yisrael, and we don't see Shaul lift a finger, and David has to take his you know, pathetic, straggling group to defend the city against the whole army of the Plishtim. Now, Shaul calls the whole army to war. Laredes Ki'ila, they're going to Ki'ila, where they were supposed to go. 10 minutes ago, they were supposed to go to Ki'ila to fight the Plishtim, but now why is he bringing them there? Latsur el David ve'el anashav, to besiege David and his men. The Plishtim are attacking, Shaul's not interested. David is there, Shaul is all in. Atanabi is just, it's throwing it in our face, the fact that Shaul is the wrong king. He's not acting as a king. He's fighting the wrong battles. He's supposed to fight the Plishtim. Instead, he's fighting David. He thinks that Hashem is with him. Hashem is against him. Everything he's thinking is just completely off base. Now, the Dan Mikra has an important point on this pasuk as well. We've seen this phrase, Vayishama Shaul es kol ha'am, before. That was exactly the phrase that the pasuk used when Shaul, right, back in Pasuk Tezvav, when Shaul called the people to fight Amalek, right? Shama Shaul es ha'am. That was the line. The last time we saw the Shosim, the raiders, was Shaul fighting Amalek. The last time we saw Shaul calling out the assembling the army, it was Shaul fighting Amalek. The parak here, which highlights Shaul's, you know, really exposes the core of Shaul's failure. Right? No, we saw the results of Shaul's failure, but the cause of Shaul's failure is being so exposed in this parak, and the Navi keeps on bringing us back to that moment of failure with Amalek. Right? You want to know how that could have happened? It's all on display over here. He's focused on himself. He is not focused on the will of Hashem. And the reason that can happen is because he convinces himself that his will and what's good for him is the will of Hashem. That's how we're able to get there. Okay. So now once again, David finds out about this. David turns to the ephod, right? David asks the Kohen to ask Hashem what to do. By the way, let's remember that Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol, who was killed last week, partially was killed because whether it happened or not, he was accused at least of asking the Urim Bitumim questions on behalf of David. And Chazal explained that you only ask the Urim Bitumim for a melech. You know, when Shaul was looking for his donkeys in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, there's a reason why he didn't go to the Mishkan to ask the Kohen to ask the Urim Bitumim, because the Urim Bitumim is not used for where are missing donkeys. Urim Bitumim is only national questions, and it's only the king or possibly the king's messenger. So David here, not only is he acting as a king in terms of fighting and leading an army to save Klal Yisrael, but he's also, Hashem is treating him as a king by answering him through the Urim Ve'etumim. Now, David asks a question to Hashem, and it's very interesting because something we've mentioned already before is that Sefer Shmuel, as much as we talk about David and Sefer Shmuel, many times we've seen the Navi not, and deliberately, not give us a window into what David was actually thinking. Right? One example of that, remember a few weeks ago, was the whole parak of David and Michal when David runs away. And the Navi didn't tell us a word that David said. And you wanted to know what David was thinking this whole time as his father-in-law wants to kill him and his wife is helping him and he's running away, running here to there. We had to go to Tehillim. We had to go to David's parak in Tehillim to see what he was actually thinking at the time. Sefer Shmuel deliberately was avoiding that. We were not getting a window into how David thinks. Many, many times, Sefer Shmuel deliberately keeps David's thoughts opaque. But here is a rare exception where we get a real window already into what David is thinking at the time. Because look at what David says, Vayomer David. And you can just see already how long-winded David's questions. Long-winded questions means that David is nervous. David is shaken at this moment. He's shaken for a good reason. He went to Keilah, even though he was nervous that it was going to be a disaster, because Hashem said, go there. He goes there. Now it turns out it's a trap because he's in the walled city and Shaul is closing in. So David says, Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And he invokes the name of Hashem, as he always does. Shema Shema Avdecha Ki Mevakei Shaul Avo El Keilah. I heard that Shaul is coming to Keilah. Lishachei Sa'ir Ba'aguri. He's going to destroy the city because of me. This is the second time Shaul is going to destroy a city in Israel because of David. Happened once with Nov last week, and David was burned. David took responsibility. He felt it. Now it's all happening again. Hayiski runi ba'alei kliya ke'ila biado hayireid Shaul. Will the people of Ke'ila trap me? Will Shaul come down? Kasher shema avdacha, Hashem lo keisrael hagedna la'avdacha. Please tell me. So what does Hashem answer? Hashem answers that long-winded question with an introduction and a conclusion and two separate questions. Will the people of Keilah give me over to Shaul, and will Shaul show up? Vayomer Hashem yireid. Hashem responds that Shaul is going to come down. Then David says again, Vayomer David, hayeskiru ba'alei Keilah sivesana shaibi b'yad Shaul. David asks again one of the questions he asked one pasuk ago. Right, one pasuk ago he asked if the people of Keilah are going to hand him over. Now he asks that a second time. So what is going on? Why does David ask him the same question? And why did Hashem only answer one of the questions he asked before? So Rashi quotes over here, comes from the Gemara. The Gemara says that you have to understand how the Urim Tumim works. You can't just, you know, dump your questions on the Urim Tumim like it's a question and answer session in Shul. Rabbi, second question, three. It don't work that way. Okay, you bring questions to the Urim Tumim, they have to be thought out, and they have to be asked in order. And David's questions, in his nervousness and panic, did not make any sense. First, he asks, will the people of Keilah hand me over to Shaul? And then he asks, is Shaul going to show up? How you raid Shaul? Right, there's a backwards. First, he should ask, is Shaul going to come? Then, if Shaul comes, will the city hand me over to it? So Hashem's response is he answers the question. He doesn't answer the question that David asked. He answers what David should have asked, right? Your first question, David should have been, is Shaul going to come? The Yomer Hashem Yireid. Now, David realizes this, because again, this is another example when David makes mistakes. This is not a terrible Avera, right? This is just, it's how David works. He makes innocent mistakes. He makes panic mistakes. There are Avera mistakes. But he corrects them. He corrects them all the time. So David made a mistake. He didn't ask the question the right way. He was nervous and panicked. So now, as it pays, David then asks the proper question correctly. And he gets the right answer. Right? The people are going to give you up. Okay. So this all gives us an insight into how the Urim Tumim works. Gives us an insight into David's moment of panic and despair over here. It gives us an insight into his correcting his mistakes. The bottom line, though, for David, as we come out of the answers that Hashem has given him, is that he's got to run, because Hashem has said, yeah, Shaul's on the way, and the people, even though you saved them, Even though you save the people, they will hand you over to David. And to Shaul. And by the way, we can't blame them, right? Why are they going to hand the people, the David over to Shaul? Because they know what will happen if they don't. This is also apparent for the rest of the parak. Everyone knows what Shaul did to Nov. And you know, he destroyed the whole city. And you know, we'd like to think that bad decisions only have bad results. But the sad thing is, you know, in the real world, atrocities, there's a reason why people commit atrocities in war. It can be effective. Shaul, by wiping out Nov, you know, he's going to pay for it in the long term. But in the short term, very beneficial politically. People are afraid of Shaul. You're not messing. We're not going to protect David because we know that if Nov gave him some bread and a sword, he wiped out the whole city of Kohanim. We are not going to mess. Kal v'chomer, we're not going to actually protect him. We who are not Kohanim, not going to happen. So Ki'ila, which was just saved by David, it is a city in Shevet Yehuda. Shaul, excuse me, did not come to their aid when they were being attacked by the Plishtim, but they're going to give him up. They're going to hand it over because already, as David himself is aware, Mivakesh Shaul lavol Ki'ila l'shaches la'ir ba'avuri. Shaul there are no limitations. He will stop at nothing. And the sad thing is that, you know, in a twisted way, that can actually work to his benefit. Ultimately, it's not to his benefit because his ultimate benefit is not to kill David, right? But in terms of what he actually wants to do. So David has to run again. David has to run. So Vayakam David v'anashav kishesh me'osish. So last parak, David had about 400 men. Now the army has increased. 50% increase, recruiting is going well, he's up to about 600 men, which is exactly the number that Shaul had in his first original Kishesh Meos Ish when they were in the caves hiding from the Plishtim. Now things really have come full circle. It had been Shaul with his few men hiding from the Plishtim. Now it's David, the new young king, with his 600 men hiding from Shaul. Where do they go? They go wherever they can go. Vayishalchu v'asher yishalchu. They went wherever they could go. They're desperate refugees wandering all across the desert in the south of Israel. David ends up in Midbar b'Mitzados. The strongholds, the Nanmaker explains what these are, is, you know, those, like a big plateau. You know, those big mountains with a plateaued top. So that's where David is staying, right? It's you get a good view. It's easily defendable. On the other hand, you're also in the middle of nowhere, and it's a pretty hostile environment. So David is not exactly living the good life over here. Now, Shaul tries to get him, and David just says, right, half a pasuk, which is so important. Shaul keeps on trying to catch David. The lo nisano elokim biado. And Hashem made sure that Shaul does not get David. Shaul, whom began a few seconds earlier, right, when Shaul had said, oh, Hashem has given David over to me. No, it's not the case. Not the case, right? David enjoys the divine protection of Hashem. Now, the Abarbanel has an interesting comment about this. The Abarbanel says it's not just that Hashem acted through supernatural means to protect David. Abarbanel says, you know, there's a combination here of Hashkacha and Peshtavos. It says, what was happening with David the whole time? It says, David had intel. David had intel. Says every time that Shaul went after him, David yodea kol pam v'pam shayotze Shaul v'akesh esnafsho. David always knew every time that Shaul went after him. Lefi shahayu avdei Shaul o avim oso magalim says no b'seiser, because David had sources on the inside who were secretly telling him what Shaul's plans were, which makes a lot of sense. Both because David was the beloved general. We were told back in Parak Yuchas, everybody loved David. Remember that Parak, right? Everybody loves David except for Shaul. So David has tremendous followers, many of whom are still working in the palace. And we also saw last week, we talked about the Yehonasan and the fact that Shaul can't trust his own men. Even the people of Shevet Binyamin, Shaul worries are conspiring with David. And we said at the time, it was not crazy, because they know that Yehonasan plans on handing over the rule to David. So it's in their self-interest. to stay on David's good side, because there's a good chance that he's going to be the next king. Right? We said last week that Shaul may be paranoid, but he's not crazy. He was paranoid, but he wasn't wrong. Right? So Barbanel says that that's happening right over here, that David has sources on the inside. They're helping him out. Ultimately, though, obviously, the only way he's surviving in the wilderness is thanks to the fact that Hashem is protecting him. Okay? So David runs again. He runs to this place called Chorsha. Now the Navi takes time out, right? And we have the third and the last bris, and it's really the most tragic one between David and Yehonasan. Out of nowhere, flying out of total nowhere, right? Shaul is marching through the land of Yehuda looking for David. And it's likely that Yehonasan is along with him, because we know Yehonasan is a major commander in the Jewish army. We saw that when we were first introduced to Yehonasan in Parakeet Gimel, Parakeet Daled. So Yehonasan's marching with the army as well. Yehonasan finds out where David is, right? Barbanel said a second ago that David had sources inside Shaul's palace. So it makes sense that Yehonasan is able to tap into that network. So he can find out where David is. So he comes to him. And what happens? We only have three psukim, but it's three psukim which are really both, it's extremely tragic in terms of Yehonasan, but also in terms of it shows who Yehonasan was and what David loses when he loses Yehonasan. Navi says, "Vaychazek es yado be'elokim," right? He strengthens his hand in God, which the Mefarshim all explain. It means that he gives David an emuna pep talk in this dark moment. So David's on the run. His emuna comes under strain. David, the man of faith, the quintessential person of emuna is David. So who's the person who has more emuna than the man of emuna? It's Yehonasan. The two of them, who from the get-go, we said, were cut from the same cloth, right? You could say they were unrelated brothers. They were absolutely identical in terms of their makeup and their outlook and their relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yehonasan is the only one who has more bitachon than David. He's the one who can give him strength and support in the moment of crisis, right? Abarbanel says right there, Yehonasan told him, look. You have to have bitachon Hashem. It says, hey, Hashem has crowned you as king. Hashem has anointed you. Shmuel has anointed you. Keep that in mind. It's going to come up again. Imagine Shabbat is going to quote at the end of the parak. You're going to be the king. Hashem wants you as king. Shmuel anointed you. Things look hopeless right now. The whole army is chasing you. You're in the middle of the desert, 600 men. But it's going to work out. And the only person in all of Klal Yisrael who has more amun bitachon than David and Melech is Yehonasan. That's why they're so close. And that's the service that Yehonasan can provide. Yehonasan then continues, and what he says is fascinating. He says, don't be afraid, because Shaul is not going to find you. Obviously, if Yehonasan has to say that, that means that David is afraid. For the first, explicitly here, Yehonasan says, you are going to be king. I will be your second in command. The Abarbanel has a very, it's a tragic insight the Abarbanel has. The last time we saw Yehonasan and David, the story of the arrows, when David has to flee, and Yehonasan kept on talking about the bris between my Zera and your Zera. And it was clear the psukim there that Yehonasan knew that he had no hope for himself. He felt tied to Shaul. He knew he was on a sinking ship, but like the captain, can't leave the ship. He felt bound to his ship. He couldn't abandon Shaul. He knew that that was going to be his downfall. And he holds out no hope for himself. And he just holds out hope that Hashem, that Shaul will be kind to his descendants. This time around, though, Yehonasan, who's in the middle of giving hope to David, manages to restore some hope for himself. And he says, Dia Barbanel, earlier I said, I'm not going to be around. He changes his mind. Now he thinks he can live. He will live to see David as king. And he like dares to dream and describe the vision that he has of David as king and Yehonasan alive as his second in command. And of course, you know, it's so tragic because it's not going to happen. Yehonasan was correct the first time around. Right, he is bound. He has bound himself to Shaul. He's not going to live to see David as king. The bitachon boost that Yehonathan gives to David, that's going to work out, right? Shaul is not going to find him. He is going to become king. But the hope he now holds out for himself, it's not going to come to pass. The last point that Yehonathan says is also so interesting. Ve'gam Shaul avi yodei akim. The deep, deep, deep down, Shaul knows that David's going to be king. And we've seen this idea before. We're going to see it again. It's going to come out explicitly. That part of what drives Shaul so crazy is that he knows. He knows. He has emunah, right? He convinces himself. He wraps himself in so many layers of convincing. Hashem wants me. I'm supposed to be the king. David's my enemy. David's Hashem's enemy. But in the heart of hearts, right, late at night as he's falling asleep or he can't fall asleep, there's always that peace that's eating at him. It's not going to be me. It's going to be David. And Yehonasan knows it, and Yehonasan mentions it to David. Once again, right, they can always come together, but they can never stay together. Yehonasan feels compelled. He has to go back home. Never in the Pesukim do we see David and Yehonasan come back together. Okay, just take a few minutes to finish the parak over here. So the last few psukim describe one more instance of Shaul almost catching David. So David is now in the land of Ziph. So some Ziphim come to Shaul in Giva, right? He's in the capital city. They tell him where David is. And they tell him something interesting. In Pasachar, they said, "Ata l'chol avas nafshcha hamelech l'redes." At your heart's content. L'chol avas nafshcha, right? Whenever it suits your soul, come down. We'll trap him. And people who Ziv said, we'll trap him. And whenever it suits your fancy, you'll come and get him. This phrase, l'chol avas nafshcha, there's one other place where it shows up in the Chumash. There's one pasuk later in the Chumash. But basically, you see that phrase, and immediately you're supposed to associate it with the Pesukim in Parak Yud Beis of Devarim. Why? Because when else does the Torah use the phrase B'chol Avas Nafshecha? It uses three times, bang, 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 in Parak Yud Beis, all about eating meat. The way we paskin, B'nai Saul, when they were in the desert, were not allowed to eat meat if they wanted to. It's Machogas Tanayim, but the Pshat in the Pesukim, the way we paskin as well, is that if they wanted to eat meat in the Midbar, they had to bring a carbon. And Torah says in Parshas Re'eh that when you enter the land of Israel and the Mishkan is not going to be next door anymore, so it's going to be a schlep to bring a carbon. If you want to eat meat, you can, just you have to shecht it. And the Torah again and again describes the person who wants to come eat meat as b'chol avas nafshecha. Right? Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk Chav, Pasuk Chav Aleph. You want to have a feast, you want to eat, you want to fress. B'chol avas nafshecha. B'chol avas nafshecha. It's a phrase which is associated with eating, with meat, with feasting. And that's the imagery the Navi is conjuring here, that the people of Ziph are telling Shaul, come down, you can feast on David. Like David is like a steak that Shaul is going to be able to rip into. Shaul's reaction, Vayomer Shaul, right? Possibly read at the beginning of the shir. Bruchim atem l'Hashem ki chamaltam alai. Oh, bracha for you guys, right? Blessed are you, not from Hashem. He thinks that Hashem blesses them because you've had mercy on me. Chamaltam alai. The Mikra points out over here, chamaltam alai. Chemla, chemla was the problem. Chemla and Amalek is the third time. Amalek is coming up the third time. They're referencing Amalek because vayachmol, right? By Amalek, we're told that Shaul and the people had mercy on Agag and on the sheep. And what we see here is exactly that line from the Gemara coming to fruition. The person who misread Reish Lakish said, person who is kolanase rachaman b'makom achzari, person who's merciful when he's not supposed to be, he'll end up being cruel when he's supposed to be merciful. And that came to fruition last week with Nov, and that's coming to fruition this week here, where Shaul's idea of mercy is the people allowing him to come down and feast and die. Right? Everything has gotten warped, and it all goes back to that core mistake at Amalek, where Shaul did what he wanted to do, and as Shmuel had said at the time, he did not listen to the Kol Hashem. You follow your own moral compass, and not Ribono Sholom's, you end up in a place where there is no moral compass. You're just doing what works for you, and you're declaring it moral, because it's in your own self-interest. And that's what's happening here with Shaul. right? It's a mercy to help me come and slaughter David. Okay, so Shaul writes up the battle plan, says he's going to come, he says, et cetera, how this is all going to work. One interesting line that Shaul says, he says, Amar Eli Arom Yarimu. Makes it sound like David, Shaul is saying that David told me he's very tricky. When did David tell Shaul he's very tricky? So the doc explains, you know, remember, David was Shaul's commander. Like, we have to keep this in mind. You know, David was the leading general for many years. So the doc says, Shaul would ask David, how did you win all, you know, you won another battle against the Plishtim. How do you keep on winning battles against the Plishtim? And David would make the army report, and he would say, I won through trickery. I set an ambush. They thought me I was going to attack over here. I attacked over there. Like that Mikra said he did a few psukim ago when he attacked the home base and then gets him from behind. So the way the Radak reads the pasuk here is Shaul is telling the people, I know David. We have a relationship. I know how he operates. He's tricky. He runs. He flees. He goes here. He goes there. You think he's here. He's actually over there. Right? We have a history together. I know how he works. And therefore, you have to be careful. Just highlighting the tragedy that these two people are supposed to be so close. They're supposed to be the father-in-law, the son-in-law, the king and the commander, the king and the next in line. And yet David is just, Shaul is just obsessed with trying to kill him. Okay. So the parak ends, the last few psukim. So Shaul gets down to where David is hiding. And he almost catches him. He's at a giant rock. And the Navi describes Shaul on one side of the rock and David on the other side of the rock. And then it sounds like Shaul sends out his men. He can easily outnumber David. So it sounds like he sends out his men in both directions to surround David. So David is almost stuck. Navi has a line, which we'll come back to in one second. He says, "Vahi David nechbaz lalechas." So David was, you know, trying to make haste to run away. Just highlight that word. Right, nechbaz, chipazon. The Midrash is going to flag it in a second. But the game is almost over. Shaul ben Hashav utrim el David ben Hashav l'tafsam. He's surrounded by David and by Shaul and his men. Umalach bal Shaul lemor mahara v'alecha ki pashtu plishtim al haaretz. A malach. Do we translate it as a messenger? Like some of the parshim say. Do we translate it as an angel? As Rashi says. Happens to come to Shaul at this moment and says, you know, you have David surrounded, but we need to run right now because the Plishtim have just invaded and the army that you are using on a wild goose chase, chasing after David, you got to go do your day job and fight the Plishtim. Regardless of whether it's a malach mamish, as Rashi says, or whether it's just a messenger, the core point is that it is blindingly obvious that we have another instance here of Hashem interceding to protect David. Not through open miracles. It's not a, you know, earth's not opening up or anything over here. It's through Hashgacha. That's the way that Hashem protects a king. Klal Yisrael chose a king. They chose the path, not of the open miracles in the world of Shmuel. They chose a king, but the world of a good king is going to be the world of divine intervention through Hashgacha. That's what we have over here. And now to Shaul's credit, because you always pile on Shaul, but to his credit, he does understand his day job. He has David in the bag, and yet, right, push comes to shove. At the ultimate level, there's a reason why Chazal liked Shaul so much. Ultimately, Shaul was good. And here he makes the right decision. He leaves David aside, and he takes his army to go fight the Plishtim. Al king karu l'makom ha'hu sela ha'machlokas. The rock of the splitting. Now, this is really interesting. What was splitting? So some of the Mepharshim say means that Shaul and David were split. And it's the image of Shaul on one side of the rock and David on the other side of the rock. But we'll scroll down to Rashi for a second. Rashi just has a phenomenal phenomenal take on what the pasuk means. And he says, what's the splitting? Shahayalibo shall Shaul chaluk l'shnei dayos. Right, it was Shaul's own heart that was split in two. Im lashuv latzil esartzel miyad plishtim. Do I save my land? Do I save my people from the plishtim? Or olir dof litvos es David? Or do I do what I want to do and go capture David? right? That the name is capturing Shaul's wrestling with himself. But here in this point to his everlasting credit, right? Even though for so much, Shaul is totally off. Instead of fighting the Plishtim, he's fighting David, right? He's giving the wrong bracha. You guys are blessed, Hashem, for giving David unto me. And Hashem wants nothing of the sort. He thinks that Hashem is with him, and he's not. He thinks he's king. David is one acting as king, right? But in the last moment, in the final account, he has the one key decision this way or that way, and Shaul makes the right decision. He goes after the Plishtim, and David runs off. Okay. Just one last point to show. You know, if you want to look, Tehillim Nundalid is another parak in Tehillim, which gives us a window into David's thought process as this is happening, because this is the parak of Bevo Hazifim. So what exactly is David thinking? Just note over here, David has a line, Lo Samu Elokim Ne'elenegdam, right? I have Hashem before me. They do not have Hashem before them. I'm asking their Ritum every minute. They are not. But it's one point if we have to quote, because, you know, Barbanel is not one who quotes so many midrashim. Right? Rashi quotes midrashim, but Barbanel mostly quotes, you know, he's very into the Pshutel Shel Mikra. So if the Barbanel quotes a midrash at length, we're obligated to take 2 minutes to look at it. Right, so right over here. So source, right here, right, 13. So this looks familiar. Parak Kuf to Zayin Tehillim, because this is from Hala, right? From whole Hala. What is this doing over here? Right? The parak, which is talking about the right, person in distress, calling out, and Hashem responding. I felt like I was about to die. I was surrounded. B'shem Hashem Ekra, on Hashem Malta Nafshi. Right? Hashem, save me, deliver me. Many second, we can understand, you know, this being appropriate for David as he feels desperate and surrounded by Shaul. But there's one funny pasuk in the middle of the parak. Ani amarti bechavzi kol adam kozei. Right, I said in my haste, every man is a liar, which doesn't really seem to have anything to do with the whole theme of the parak, which is I was in crisis and I called out to Hashem. It's all Ben Adam L'makom, right? It's all David's relationship with Ribbono Shalom and his bitachon, even in the moments of the deepest crisis. What is the pasuk doing here talking about? I said in my haste, all people are liars. So Barbanel quotes the Medrash. It's really the Medrash here on Shmuel, that it's referring to that line. Remember when David was mechpaz lalachas. David was surrounded by Shaul, and he was mechpaz lalachas. Medrash says, this is what David is referring to. He said, bechavzi kol adam kozei. Let's just read it inside for a couple minutes. The Medrash says, kevan shera David es atzmo mitzumtzam biyad Shaul v'anashav. When David saw that he was surrounded by Shaul and his men, amar, al chinam mashach osi Shmuel b'shem Hashem. Was it for no reason? Was it free and a waste that Shmuel anointed me in the name of Hashem? Where's that anointing? I'm about to be killed. Where's the promise? Call Adam Kozev Afilu Shmuel. Every man is a liar. Right? I said, as I was running away from Shaul, I said, every man is a liar. Even Shmuel Hanavi, who anointed me. Right? And we saw a window in the Pesukim into a crack in David's bitachon, when Yehonasan has to boost him up. So we have it happen again over here, right? We have so many, David is such a brick wall. The Medrash exposes, what was David thinking in the moment? David faltered, right? David was human. He thought for a second, and was this all for a waste? Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who kozev, and is Shmuel a liar? And he made a lav shenaman who? Shmuel is absolutely reliable. Shenamar ki naman Shmuel enavi l'Hashem. Pasuk said that Shmuel is a reliable navi in Parak Gimel. If you think Shmuel is a liar, miyad malach bal shal, immediately the malach comes to Shaul. Amar of Yudan malach shliachaya. Right? Chazal already argued. One view is that malach was just a human messenger. Amar Rabbi Pinchas, v'ki hashliach yoetu shahayal omer mehira v'alecha. Right? Pinchas says, points out that there's a problem with the pasuk. A messenger does not come to the king and say, tell them what to do, right? A messenger gives them a scouting report. Messenger says, here's what's happening out there. A messenger does not go to the king and say, you've got to, you know, leave the most wanted and go fight the war. So why is the messenger telling him he has to go fight? Ela malach min hashamayim. It was a real malach, it was a real angel. Shnemar, shlach, yishlach mi shamayim v'yoshini, right? Hashem sent from heaven and he saved me. So Abarbanel is quoting this medrash. I mean, it's a beautiful, insight into the parak and tilm over here, but the pasuk means ani amarti bechavzi kol adam kosev. But I think it's so important, you know, just for us to think about, because David is, it really is the man of emuna bitachon. And, you know, to some degree, it's like, you know, it's easy, you think, easy for David in a sense, because he sees the results, you know, he sees Hashem interceding on his behalf. At the same time, you might think, okay, that's, you know, it's for David a malach, but like, it's just, it's a level which is beyond human comprehension. So Chazal pointing out, David's human, right? Even the greatest of the greats have moments of question and moments of crisis and moments of despair, right? David had that moment when he needed Yehonasan to come and bail him out spiritually. He had that moment where he said, call it up Kozev, right? He looks back at Shmuel and he says that it was you know, all for naught, right? And the key point is not what we think to ourselves in the darkest moment. Everyone has that going for them, right? The key point, and this is, you know, so interesting both for David and for Shaul, is David is able to turn things around. And that's, you know, it was one moment, and then David can look back and reflect and say, no, right? Shlach mi shamayim v'yoshieni. And in parallel, Shaul as well. You know, I think it's important for us to keep in mind that for all the mistakes that Shaul makes in this whole parak, we saw again and again and again, Shaul wrong at every turn, fighting the wrong battle, saying Hashem is not my back. At the moment of crisis, right, both it was the first two Jewish kings we have, at the moment of crisis, both of them here emerge on top. All right, so thanks everyone for letting me go over time a little bit.